you may wonder why we're not going, carrying on with the book of Galatians. It's because I promised last time, when we last had a message on Galatians, that I would take a time out to look at the subject of the apostles and who are apostles. And this is an important subject because we have to understand what the apostleship is all about. And we have to understand who can call themselves apostles. There are people today calling themselves the apostles of Christ. They're like the Pope. He believes that he is an apostle through succession, the apostolic succession. He believes that his apostleship comes handed down from Peter through all the popes up to him. I don't know how he can actually maintain that, because sometimes there were two popes, other times there were others vying for the position of pope. So how he can actually maintain this is beyond belief. But we're not here to look at the apostolic succession or whether there is an apostolic succession tonight. We're going to look at what an apostle is. And through that, I think we'll see very clearly that the Pope is no apostle, and he has no right to claim that there is an apostolic succession. There are other groups in evangelicalism who have apostles over them. They will be people who look after a number of churches and exercise authority in matters and make pronouncements, prophetic pronouncements, call themselves the oracles of God in many ways. They are appointed by their churches, or sometimes they just morph into that position, and nobody knows why they, how they became appointed as apostles, but everybody recognises that they are apostles. So that's how they get round it. But we must take great care, mustn't we? As Paul points out to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We must really take note of this. Paul is pointing out to us that there will be people who seem to be workers of righteousness. They seem to be doing the right things. They seem to be saying the right things. They seem to be kosher, but they are not. They are self-appointed apostles, and they are the ministers of Satan. They are being used by Satan to undermine the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with their teaching. And they must not be accepted as apostles. They must be called out as false apostles. They must be excommunicated from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for making themselves apostles when they are not apostles. And that's exactly how we should be dealing with false apostles today. We should be standing up and we should be proclaiming that they are not apostles. They have no right to the position of an apostle. And they are not to be accepted in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what they teach and their ministry should not be accepted in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But are there apostles today? What makes an apostle? Who is an apostle? Well, the first thing that I want you to note about apostles is there were 12. There were 12 apostles. And there were only 12 apostles. That's very clear in the scripture, as we're going to see. Look at Mark's Gospel in chapter 3. I'm afraid we are going to go through the scriptures quite a lot this evening. So Mark's Gospel in chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "And when he went up onto the mountain and called to himself those he himself wanted, and they came to him, then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. And then there's a list of those 12 apostles. So there were 12. Christ selected 12. And that's very important, as we're going to see. And in Matthew's Gospel, well, Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 is basically saying the same thing. Verse 1. They are those who are called the apostles, the 12. So let's look at Mark's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says here, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. You see, the fact that there were 12 was very important. They were called the 12. So the apostles are 12, aren't there? There must be 12 apostles. There are only 12 apostles. They sit on the throne and the thrones, and they will judge Israel. If you look at Matthew's Gospel in chapter 19, from verse 27, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me would also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's very important, isn't it? A very important text. If we are going to ascertain if there were only strictly 12 apostles. Firstly, you must know this, that this is at the end of the world. This is when Christ and his church has finished their ministry on earth. This is the day of judgment. And on that day, how many apostles will there be? 12. Only 12. Because he says, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me would also sit on 12 thrones. Now, unless those thrones are enormous and you can fit 50 or 60 apostles on each throne, Christ is pointing out to us very clearly there are only 12 thrones, aren't there? And they, why is there 12 thrones? Because there are 12 tribes of Israel. In the Old Testament, the Church of Jesus Christ was represented on earth by the 12 tribes of Israel, and the elect were drawn out mostly out of those 12 tribes, weren't they? In the New Testament, there are 12 apostles who have founded the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 12. And all the work of Jesus Christ can be attributed to them, to their work in founding the Church and establishing the Church and bringing about the Church. They're called the foundation of the Church. We'll look at that in just a few moments. So there are 12 in the regeneration, no more than 12. He doesn't say that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me would also sit on thrones, does he? If there were more than 12, that's what the Lord would have said. It would make no sense for him to say, you will sit on 12 thrones, if in fact he means 500 thrones for all the apostles that have ever been. No, there can only be 12. That's what we're being pointed out by the Lord himself. They are his apostles, and he only has 12. So that's very important, isn't it? And they are the foundation of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21. And verse 14. Look how important the number 12 is here. Look from verse 12. Also, she had great and high walls with 12 gates. This is the church, the church of God in heaven. And 12 angels at the gates. And the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 apostles of the Lamb are the foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the gates of the city made up of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you have the foundation of the church made up of the 12 apostles. So the whole church is represented there in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Those who, from Israel, those who were the elect in Israel, and those who came to Christ through the ministry and work in the New Testament. So the whole church is represented there in this wonderful city of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are some difficulties to this, and some of these difficulties may have occurred to your minds already. The first one is Judas. What about Judas? He was an apostate. Was he really an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he was in name, and he was in fellowship, but he wasn't in nature. He wasn't a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always a reprobate. He was always a thief. He was always a traitor in his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all who dwell in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language Akel Dama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office.' Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now this is a very important text about the nature of the apostleships and what the apostles understood about apostleship. But here we find Matthias, and he has been selected as the 12th apostle. Why has he been selected as the 12th apostle? Because they realised that there should be 12, don't they? They understand that. There were 12 appointed. They are the 12. They are the foundation of the church. There must be 12. So they, in because there is a spare place, because there is only 11 of them now, and Judas has been proved to be that one, that son of perdition, who was never a true apostle, there is a place for another apostle. They select somebody who knew Jesus Christ, who walked with Jesus Christ, who sat under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a witness of the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. They chose somebody whom they knew had some of the qualifications of an apostle. Right? And they take it upon themselves to appoint one out of their number, out of that number of those people who had certain qualifications that they believe to be qualifications of an apostle. The only way that they can go about selecting which one it is by prayer, which they do, and then by casting lots. Now, they didn't cast lots in the sense of gaming. They cast lots in the sense of probably writing a name on a piece of wood and then putting it into a bundle and then counting and finding out how many were for Matthias and how many for the other man. And Matthias was the one that was selected. Believing that to be of God, he was numbered with the 11. Was he a true apostle? That's the question, isn't it? That's the question. Was he really an apostle? Or were they trying to do the right thing, but not waiting upon the Lord for his instruction and for his leading? It's also interesting, isn't it? It says that it doesn't say that he was an apostle then. It says that he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So he was seen to be, he was accepted as the church to be one of the 11, one of the number of the apostles. But did Jesus Christ accept him as an apostle? We know that that's the last we hear of Matthias. By name, we do hear of the 12 later on in the book of Acts, but it's the last that we hear of him by name. Was he a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we'll come back to that, shall we, when we look at the full qualifications of an apostle. Paul. How about Paul? Look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And this is talking about those who witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes to verse 6, and it says, "After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace, the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so we believe." So now, Paul is saying that he is one born out of due time. That he says here, and this is very important too, in verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." And it's very important he says that, because, you see, one of the qualifications of being an apostle is that you are selected by Jesus Christ himself, as we're going to see. Selected by Jesus Christ himself. Now, was Matthias, selected by Jesus Christ in person himself? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. So the Church of Jesus Christ, having chosen him and selected him, recognized him as an apostle, but he wasn't that 12th apostle. He wasn't intended to be, by Jesus Christ, to be that 12th apostle. Paul was. He was the one born out of due time. That's what Paul is saying, isn't it? It's him. Not Matthias, but him. He was the one that, if he had been there as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, would have been selected as the 12th apostle and not Judas, had it not been God's design to have a traitor in his midst to fulfill those prophecies of the Old Testament, and also to show that men's hearts have to be changed by Christ. It's no good just signing up and joining the club. Men's hearts have to be changed. And Judas' heart was never changed, was it? It was never true to him. So here we have it then. Paul, that apostle that was missing. The church seems to carry on recognizing Matthias because they have selected him. But that was a church appointment and not Christ's appointment. He is not an apostle of Christ. Paul was the apostle of Christ. Paul was the one that Jesus Christ wanted to fill that space. Okay, so let's look at the qualifications now, shall we, of